Thank you, Ross. Thank you. Thank you so much. Good morning, everyone. Back again, Mr. Romans. Here. It's just great being here this morning. I will say it all the time, don't take it lightly. He woke us up this morning. We are alive and we got beautiful weather. So enjoy it. I brought some friends with me this morning. I know my wife, we are all together. Two shall become one. It's always great to see my wife journey with me as well. But then we've got some friends. Chris actually grew up in Lisvain. Yeah, Chris, and then his wife, Sarah, there as well, and that's little Jesse there. And then we had Amy as well as Ollie coming to support. These guys have been journeying with us, and it's always good to have people around us to bring the best out of us. Amen. So today, I wanna minister on the love of God that broke sin. Like, I know it was a long reading, but I was just thinking as I was just preparing, do I just take snippets here and there? Because Paul is just bringing out, this is the first time he speaks about the love of God from chapter 5. He's beginning now to open up this love and justification and righteousness, and he's talking about sin. In what my sister just read there, what were some of the things that stood out? Was there any word that stood out for you as she was reading that? Anyone? What stood out? What kind of thing? She read it and stuff just popped up in your mind. What were some of those things? Anyone? Feel free. Remember, I'm family.
Everybody's very shy this morning.
Everybody's shy. Is it because of the weather?
Sinners. That's the idea.
Pardon?
We are all sinners.
Okay, sinners. Anybody else? What came to mind as she was reading that? Because faith comes by hearing. What are we hearing? Before I get into the notes, because I don't want you to take my thoughts. What's your thoughts? What came up as she was reading that?
Just one more time that a few people might just die for something really good. You see that, but whoever would die for that, who would do that?
That's good. Anybody else? What came up? Is there any word? Is there any phrase? Is there anything that just like pop up?
Justification.
Grace all the time. Justification, grace.
Perseverance.
Perseverance.
Reconciliation.
Wow. Anybody else?
Peace and joy.
Wow. This is what Jesus has done, and it's great that you're picking these things up, because some of those things is not on here. And hey, look at that, I got my notes. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, anybody else? What came up? What came up for you as she was reading that?
It's a phrase, it's one man, referring to Adam balanced against Jesus.
Jesus bringing life through Adam, death. Life on the other. And we are actually part of the Adams family, isn't it? Because through Adam, this brother, man, he didn't listen though. Do you know what I mean? Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we became part of his family. Yeah, part of the Adams family, I'm telling you. So this love that broke sin, it is just phenomenal, as what Graham was saying in the back. Listen, if you keep messing up, I ain't dying for you. What's the point? Dying for you and you don't listen. When I die, it's going to be in vain. You know, it's like, who would die for somebody? The Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Powerful. And if we don't sense that love, that he knew us before the foundation of the world, but we had to come in, born into Adam, born into sin, into a sinful nature, born into it. And Christ comes and he says, I'm going to give you life. I'm going to bring you life, and I'm going to take your punishment. I'm going to take your sin upon me and nail it to the cross so that you can be free and you can be called the righteousness of God. We didn't do anything. We didn't do anything to, because that's where grace comes in. That's where grace, we've been made right. He has justified us. And that, for me, as I read this, I was just thinking, wow, that's the love of God. That he said, you didn't need to do anything because you're precious and you're amazing. And believe that. That is, I'm dying for you, because somebody's got to pay the ransom. Jesus did. And he paid it in full. And he said, it is finished. It's done. That's the freedom we have. Don't let religion keep us there. Oh, I'm just that sinner. Yes, we sin. We're in the world, but not of the world. So we make mistakes. I get that. But if we come into that place of, oh, poor me, just look at me. Every time I sin, I fail Jesus. Oh, my days. And we put ourselves down. And Jesus says, hey, but I died for that. I'm setting you free. Be honest. Share with me. Let's have this dialogue. It brings freedom again. So that's why Galatians talks about don't be enslaved again to slavery, to the things that bound us. Jesus set us free from that. So the unconditional love. This is the unconditional love by Jesus. And so I've got an a cappella. I thought, like, okay, I've got a rap that I'm going to, I don't need you guys to be with me in this one. The next one, I'm going to bring a beat and we're going to dance. I thought, let's step it up a bit, but not to do the music today. Is that okay? See, now everybody, yeah, okay. Yeah, I've got this rap. It talks about the love of God. And I felt like it's so fit to the love of God that broke sin. And I'm going to be talking about the benefits of God's love. We're going to look at sin, Adam, and God. The only sin that happened in the Bible for Adam and with God, Adam and Eve and God, there's just one sin in the world that formed all the other sins, one sin, and that is rebellion. That's it. That's the sin Jesus came to crush. That relationship that was in the garden, he came to restore that and reconciliation, like you said. He came to reconcile us back to the Father only because of Adam. Don't eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The enemy comes and says, but you, God is scared that you'll be like him. And that, because they disobeyed, rebellion, the whole world fell into the Adams family. Now you get why you're part of the Adams family. But Jesus came. And Jesus came to restore it. So this is the cappella. What type of love is this that you would give your only kid, put him to death upon a crucifix, piercing his hands and his feet and his ribs, mocking, beaten with whips for my wickedness? As a sheep to a shearer is, you remain silent, no defiance, while knowing you were innocent. I can't fathom it. How you stay adamant on a tree that you created. You were throned on high, you became a man, and in the flesh you made the payment. No lenience and no getting off lightly. You are far from sprightly. No comeliness and no beauty about you. Nothing on you to sight see. Now irie, or because of a sacrifice, not a better could have matched the price, giving me hope in an afterlife. I live now in the spirit only because the Messiah died. And that's real. We don't split the bill. He paid it all, so I enjoy the meal. Till I'm filled and still, I'm running over like a cup that's about to spill. Amen. 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 The love of God is just, we can't compare. So the benefits, to get straight into the benefits of, because we're going to go into the Lord's table as well, communion. Therefore, you have been justified by faith. So Paul is saying to the church now, yes, all these stuff that's happening, because I remember I preached on Romans chapter 2, where it was all about don't judge, because if I judge, I'm condemning myself, right? So Paul is talking to the church, come on, we can't. And Paul wasn't even with them. Paul just kept writing, don't do this. Come on, you've been justified. There's reconciliation. Don't do it. But now he's beginning to talk about the love of God in chapter 5. Therefore, you have been justified by faith. We have, the benefit is we have peace with God. We have peace with God. We sang these amazing songs. What was the one? And your favorite one, Christ, in Christ, the hope. What? Life and death. Christ, our hope in life and death. Wow. Listen, all of us, we will die. Yeah. Because death is not how we can deal with death. We don't know how to deal with death, right? Because in our nature is we want to be alive. But if you're in Christ, absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. Look at that benefit. that we have peace with God because he has justified us. Now, I don't want to die now. I know I will die. But when I do die, it's like the Terminator, I'll be back. It is just this constant, you will not die, you'll come back, resurrected body, according to Revelations, which I won't go into that. But is this resurrected body, right? I might have six-pack. I don't know when I my resurrected body. I don't know. I'm talking to the Lord. We're talking to the Lord about that. But it is this amazing. Jesus came to save us, but also to deal with the most important condition that all other faiths or religions did not deal with. And it's sin. Sin. The condition of sin. Jesus came and he restored us and he saved us from sin and death. That's the God we serve. Sin and death. So the benefit is you have peace with God. If you're believing, you love Jesus, you've been justified. You've been justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into the grace, you said, into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We have hope. Look at that. Look at that. We have hope. That's why we need to just love one another, because I'm going to see you again in heaven. But it's this thing, we all want to go to heaven. And Jesus says, no, Jesus brought heaven down to earth. So it is this culture that we, that because he saved us, we have this hope that we stand in. Verse 3, and now, and not only that, we also glory in tribulations. How many of us rejoice in tribulations? Tough times. When I go through tough times, I don't know, seriously. I can speak here, I can be the gift of encouragement, I can share with people, but I don't know how to navigate through trials. Have like anybody figured it out? How do you deal through trials? And help us here today. It says rejoice. Wow. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. It produces something. It produces perseverance and then character. There's times when I don't know, when I go through tough times, and you just sit there and you're just like, I don't know Jesus. Just don't know. And you cry. And you're like, I don't know. How do I find the rejoicing? I tell my soul, praise the Lord, oh my soul. David spoke to his soul. My soul, why are you so downcast? Why are you so downcast? I will bless the Lord at all times, he says. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So it's our souls, because if our souls are tired and weary, we can't rejoice, isn't it? We can't find any source of rejoicing. But here it says, because if I rejoice and I sing a song, and you like your worship songs, right? I remember when I was here at Lisbon, youth pastor, youth and children's pastor, I would go over to Anne in the afternoons, man. We have our cup of tea and a nice biscuit, and then the music would just be there. Worship. Filling our hearts, filling our souls with worship. Because the external is tough, the trials we go through, but the soul, your mind, your will, and your emotion, we have to speak to our soul and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul, regardless of what you go through. Regardless of what you go through. It says it builds character. It builds character. And then it says, verse 5, now hope does not disappoint because of the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. There, the first time it talks about this love that's been poured out. If we understand what Christ has done for us, that exchange that happened, like Graham was saying, that exchange that happened, you'd be like, mind-blowing, how can he love me? But some of us are still thinking, I don't deserve the Lord's love. Oh, my days. He saw it fit to bless you. He saw it fit. It's not so much about what you think. If you think, oh, I'm not. I remember when I was in Cape Town, somebody said, oh, I'm just a sinner. Oh, wretched sinner. Oh, rugged. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. That was my condition then. But Christ has redeemed me and has justified me. And my standing in him now is righteousness. I have this love with the Father. So if I constantly say to myself, oh, sinner, oh, sinner, oh, sinner, oh, sinner, oh, sinner, oh, sinner, I'm going to start believing that. I'm not saying that I don't sin. I do. Not that I want to, because the Bible says, the things Paul says, the things I should do, I'll be not doing it, and the things I shouldn't be doing, that I do. We get that. But I stop saying that I'm a sinner. Oh, wretched sinner. No, Christ has redeemed me from that. And I am like, we are part of this royal family, that this love that he has broke the sin that we struggled with. And that is the good news. I listened to, is it John James who came?
Last week.
So I do a little bit of research and so on. And he's Mr. Hallelujah, right?
That's right.
It's Mr. Hallelujah. If he was here, he would be Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. And we don't get excited about these things because some way, somehow, we still feel we need to do something to gain from God. We've been justified by faith. He's done it for us. And this is the hope that he's poured in our heart. And then it says, for when we were still powerless, when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. I was one of the ungodly. I didn't believe in God. All of us. Christ died for us, even though we were still in nightclubs and doing crazy stuff that you know what you did. You know how crazy you were. And the stuff that you used to do, he redeemed you from that. Isn't that good news? Imagine you were still that crazy one. Don't think about it. Don't think about it. And then, and as Graham was saying about, who would die for somebody? Who would die for a man? You know, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. So we weren't good. He died anyway. Now, that's not a good deal. If I was his father, I said, where are you going? I'm just going to die for Graham. What did he do? No, he's messed up. That's not a good deal, though. What are you going to get in return? I don't know. Get back in the house. Behave. But you mean die for Graham? Get back in there. There's no benefit. Christ died while we were yet sinners. Amazing. Amazing God who we serve. That's what he does. And verse 6, verse 8, and verse 10, it talks about this life, this sinner. Romans 3:23 says, for all of us have sinned, and for we fall short. There's nothing that we can do. It's like, okay, today I want to get up there, performance base, so I can show Jesus, hey, at least I'm trying. Jesus is like, you were weak and I died for you. You were ungodly and I died for you. What do you think? You can't attain this by yourself. I died for you so that you could be free and you can follow in my footsteps and don't go to the Adams family's house anymore. You're part of a royal family, not Adams family. God is sharing this for letting us know that God's love and God's love has broken the sin that the whole world struggled with. Even atheists, that's why I'm like, wow, how did you get there? There's no God. Really? Wow. Okay. So after you die, well, what's going to happen? We don't know. I might come back as an elephant. Okay. Why don't you just be an elephant now? Christ died for the ungodly. They haven't seen it yet. The same Paul that we're quoting was a man that persecuted God's church. Saul, why are you persecuting me? Not my people, me. And it's the same Paul that the Holy Spirit has poured love in his heart. And the revelations that we talk about and preach about today was a man once upon a time who killed God's people. God will redeem anyone. Whoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That is what we are part of here today. We are part of, for all of us have sinned. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin, see, this is the condition of sin. No amount of money, no amount of strategy and how we think and how brilliant we are, nobody can deal with sin. How to fix sin, how to solve sin. For the wages, which means you go to work, you get a wages, that's, you, you They pay you for this. So sin, there's a wages for it, and it is penalty, it's death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, even in that scripture, kept saying the gift of God, the gift of God, the gift of God, the gift of God. God is saying, constantly, I've got a gift for you. Open it up. I want to bless you. Some of your Christmas gifts, I know there's not one Christmas gift that is still closed. You've opened up all of them. And if you didn't, then there's a problem. We love gifts. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I know I've got eternal life, but I don't want to go to heaven yet. That's what I mean. He's already, okay, what am I going to do in heaven then? And then my family, my friends, the people I work with, the young people I work with, they don't know Jesus as yet. So I don't want to go to heaven. He's already given me the gift of eternal life. So pray for me that I stay a bit longer here. I want to stay here a bit longer. Because the kingdom of God needs to be expressed through us so that people might see that there is a God. In our spheres of influence, God has put something in you. When you go to Tesco, when you go to Marks and Spencer's, I got to put Marks and Spencer's in there. Or, you know, wherever you go, there is something in there that God wants the world to know. I'm not talking in a religious way, but just your kindness, your love, your joy, your just who you are will draw people to you. The wages of sin, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For he made him, God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. Look at that. It's just we didn't do anything. And that's why I'm saying even in this church, that God will add to the numbers how he sees fit. We don't need to do anything. Like I'm talking about kind of like human effort. We don't need to do that. God pops something in our spirit, he's growing the church, and he's the one that will add to the church. There's no pressure, right? There's no pressure. Lord, what are you saying? Because I'm part of you. What are you saying about my community, my family, my friends? Speak to me. Okay, thank you. That's what we were saying. We need new leaders. We need new people. God, speak to us. He will speak. Because he will build his church. He will build his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail. Look at that. We're part of a winning team. And God says, believe my promises, remind me of my promises. I will build this church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But you get your ideas out of the way. I will put an idea here. You believe that idea and see what I do. Boom, I will do it for you. It's this love of God.
There it is. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's
the gift of God. It's the gift of God. I'm standing here today as a gift to the body of Christ, because he gave me a gift. So I can just get, that's why I can't go to heaven now. You see what I mean? It's like when we think religiously, oh, one day when I go to heaven, the great by and by, oh, when he calls me up to heaven. It's like, no, I don't want to go right now. I want the kingdom of God to be reflected in me, and it needs to be poured out to the world. Moses don't need saving. Esther doesn't need saving. Abraham, Sarah don't need saving. So there's no one in heaven that needs salvation. They're there already. My drug dealer friend needs saving. So I can't go to heaven. Please, I just can't. Don't pray for me. Lord, one day. No, I don't want to go to heaven right now. I want to share God's love, this unconditional love, with the lost, the broken, the hurting. And so the exchange that happened on the cross of Calvary is 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins, this is Christ, in his own body on a tree, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. For by his stripes you were healed. Past tense. You were healed. It's the mindset, I am healed. I am healed. And don't look at our bodies. Because this body, we think, look, God can heal you however he wants to heal you.
The older we get, the more our bodies are frail. He knows we are just dust. That's why Adam was made out of dust. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Dust is not going to go to heaven. Our soul, our spirit, whoosh, returns back. You were healed, your soul. Your soul. Even if I walk with a limp, what did Jacob say? Jacob wrestled with God and he had a limp. But he said the place he was, Bethel, was called the house of God. That he wrestled with God, but his soul was strengthened. You were healed. When I get 70, 80 years old, I will be frail too. You see what I mean? But if you say that I am healed, we just look at external. Your soul. You are healed because the love of God has broken that sin in your life. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also suffered once for sin, the just for the unjust." There's it again. The just, Jesus, for the unjust. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. By the Spirit. This love. God has dealt with sin. And I really feel today, it is for us to be in that place where we just say, Lord Jesus, you died for me. I believe it. And I'm going to worship you from my soul. From my soul, from my soul, from my soul. Don't look externally. From your soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And forget not all these benefits. There's benefits there. That's why when they said Muhammad and Allah, and like, what's the benefits here? There ain't no benefits. Muhammad isn't even dealt with sin though. Even he, Jesus died for brother Buddha. Jesus died for everyone. And whomsoever would believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 15, I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 45 says, "And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam, which is Jesus." The first Adam and the last Adam. Like Alex was saying, that is Adam and Jesus. This kind of, you know, the death and life. Death, life, death, life. "So the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit." That is physical, Adam. Jesus comes and he comes to give us life. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And afterward, the spiritual. The first man was on the earth made of dust. The second man, which is Christ, is the Lord from heaven. So Adam was there, and Jesus comes in, and he's got a way of restoring. The women, and we were like, yeah, but Eve shouldn't have told him. She ate the apple, or the banana, or whatever. That tree, she ate. But God told Adam, and sin came because he didn't respond. But we put the woman down. You can't put the woman down. Am I right, ladies? Don't blame us, right? What God did when the women ate the tree, ate the fruit. The yeah, check this out what God does when he restores, right? Think restoration. Eve ate the fruit. Who was at the tomb when Jesus wasn't there? Who went to the tomb? It's the women, right? It's the women. Can't you see what I mean? The enemy says, blame her. God says, for the rest of eternity, woman will be blamed. And God spoke to Adam and says, you need to sort yourself out, but I'm going to restore her because I didn't talk to her about this situation. And women shouldn't go. It should be men that need to go to the tomb. And Jesus says to the women, go and tell the disciples and Peter to wait for me in Galilee. See how God restores.
Every bad situation that you've been through in your life that the enemy has used against you, God will use it to restore and redeem it. That is the God we serve. Everything for me, when I went through what I went through growing up, I have become the opposite of what I didn't get. This is God, his love for us. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust, me and you. And as it is the heavenly man, Jesus, so also are those who are heavenly, me and you. Beautiful. I was studying this, and all the time I just said, that's beautiful. I read it, I said, that's beautiful. Look at the God we serve. He has planned everything for us long in advance. We just need to be part of the story. And if anything is contradicting what he's saying, you need to tell your soul, that's not going to go in your soul. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, poured in your heart by the love of God. So that is my message today, because I know my sister needs to do this as well. But I want you to go away this week and tell your soul that you are blessed. Tell your soul that you are highly favored by God. Tell your soul that every gift that God has given you, he died for you. Tell your soul that. And believe me, that your flesh will respond to that. Your flesh will respond to that. Like, I feel good right now. Only because I was talking about the things of God. I'm speaking to my soul. I feel good. I feel re-energized. It's because of my soul. It's not my flesh. It's my soul. Listen, I can run a marathon today. Maybe in my heart, yeah. Yes, yes, no, we bless you. I want you just to go away this week. Think about that. Like Graham said, who would die for somebody that's ungodly? Maybe a good person, he'll consider. God does the opposite because the kingdom of God is upside down. He came for the rich as well, but he came for the sick. He came for the ungodly so that we know it's only by grace that we are saved, and God's love will break every sin in your life. So don't hold on to the sin. Confess the sin to God and confess it to trusted brothers and sisters so that you may be healed. Amen? So, Lord, we thank you so much for your grace today. Thank you for LBC, and thank you so much, Lord, that you are doing amazing things here. We thank you, Lord, for your love, your kindness, your unconditional love. And Lord, we pray that as we confess our sins, your word says that we will be healed. So Lord, I speak healing over every person here today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much.